Welcome to Buckeye History Live, the podcast about Ohio State University history straight from the university archives. I'm Lindy Smith, Research Services Archivist.
And I'm Michelle Drobick, Audiovisual Archivist. We'll be your tour guides on a journey to reveal the captivating details behind the people, places, and events that make up OSU's history.
Hey, Michelle. What's up, Kat? You look beat.
I was up all night shedding the script. I'll clue you. I had all these illuminations, but nothing panned out. This is a bit grody, but it'll have to do for now.
Ain't that a bite? Well, let me put on my peepers and cast an eyeball at this. A little all show, no go, but we can work on it.
I'm booted. I know just what you mean.
Well, if you haven't figured out yet, today's topic is slang. We'll have a few cool cats.
Those cats are actually our student assistants.
Reading samples of articles from OSU's favorite rag, newspaper, The Lantern. So chill out, hang out at your pad, and listen to all these gigs.
March 22, 1915. Slang and Near Language. Classic slang is seldom found in libraries. O. Henry must have put one over when he got by with the following bit of chatter found in his book, Cabbages and Kings. His nibs skedaddled yesterday per jackrabbit line with all the coin in the kitty and the bundle of muslin. He's spoony about it. The boodle is 6 figures short. Our crowd in good shape, but we need the spondulix. You collar it. The main guy and the dry goods are headed for the briny. You know what to do, Bob. For the benefit of the uneducated, the paragraph of cipherized language means that a citizen eloped with a girl and most of the coin in stock. The couple are headed for a convenient seaport, with the presumed intention of taking an ocean voyage until the sheriff leaves for a summer vacation or a change of administration arrives. We like slang. We like to read slang. We understand it and use it. We don't like to see it mixed in with legitimate language, because the combination spoils both the language and the dialect. We hate cheap slang. Many persons who use such expressions as, "Oh, you kid," "Believe me," "I got you," and "Slip it to me," continually ought to be barred from college. We believe it is possible to use it or let it be alone when the person has an average amount of willpower. Therefore, let us, as did Shakespeare, use the jargon tongue carefully.
October 4th, 1915, a slam at slang. When a person uses slang, he has made a public confession that his vocabulary is lacking. The user of adulterated language has returned a self-indictment for failure to provide himself with a sufficient knowledge of the English language to talk correctly. George Ade has mastered slang and keeps the Internal Revenue Collector busy collecting his income tax on that account. But there is only one George Ade. College students are always held up as the blue ribbon users and originators of slang. As a matter of fact, slang doesn't originate on campus, but enough college students are equipped with the candy counter jargon to give it some ground to the allegation. There's no excuse for a college student using slang. By coming in contact with highly educated men and women and by access to the best literature, slang should be eradicated from his vocabulary. When co-eds call us dog, we get angry. And when she smiles and says kid, we tip our hat and go on. Such is slang. Now there is no doubt that slang is expressive, but so is profanity, and before profanity, a club or rock was considered very much the point in a heated conversation. But good taste and civilization frown upon the use of such sonaged methods. If you are jealous of your roommate's use of slang and invited out to dinner, why not show off by eating your potatoes with a knife or sticking your napkin in your collar?
May 29th, 1923. Co-eds impose fines for using slang. Fund grows fast. The Anti-Swearing League has passed out of existence. Several weeks ago, a group of co-eds decided to stop using slang. They organized themselves as the Anti-Swearing League, although the awful vice to be conquered with slang and not profanity. Penalties were imposed on girls found guilty of using certain unladylike expressions, such as huh, blah, and other slang phrases. It was further agreed that when the amount collected from the fines should be large enough, the money would be expended on a picnic. And now the picnic has been held. That's the reason the league has disbanded. And it is rumored that the eats were unusual both in quantity and quality.
April 21st, 1936. Campus conversation survey shows modern collegians' language unique. Over 250 different slang expressions found in daily use by students. University students have a language that is definitely all their own, a survey made in the campus buildings and restaurants revealed this week. The modern collegian's vocabulary includes 23 synonyms for their girlfriends and 32 for drunks. The survey was made by listening in on conversations in the library, Hayes Hall, Neal Hall, and Derby Hall, as well as several of the campus hangouts. More than 250 different slang words were found to be in daily use. However, despite this collegiate ability to use slang, Professor George H. McKnight, Department of English, declares that college slang is amateur compared to that of the professionals. Professor McKnight lists Walter Winchell and Ted Cook as professional slang users. Not original. College is not the place where slang originates, but is the place where it is used, Professor McKnight pointed out. The largest sources of collegiate slang are campus humor magazines and their big brother, College Humor. College slang is either campus creation or imitation. The campus synonyms for one's date include femme, jane, dame, moll, flapper, skirt, smelt, squaw, chicken, doll, sardine, squab, flirt, hen, damsel, frail, hairpin, piece of calico, petting skirt, broad, wench, vamp, charmer, and baby. If the date turns out to be a good one, she was a darb, peach, bird, bell, sweetums, live one, whiz, pippin, star, sweet patootie, choice bit of calico, snappy piece of work, butte, bunch of sweetness, pretty Genevieve, thrill, or flesh and blood angel. However, if the date was not so good as expected, she was a bad one, pill, pickle, lemon, dead one, priss, tomato, drag, gloom, oil can, crumb, hard-nosed cookie, worm, flat tire, mess, or had a nutcracker face. Intoxication. In case one's roommate comes home intoxicated, he may be referred to in any number of ways. These include blind, bloated, blotto, boiled, boozed, canned, cockeyed, frazzled, fried, geezed, grinned, lit, loaded, mellow, well-oiled, on a bender, ori-eyed, ossified, pickled, plastered, rummed, shicker, shot, soaked, soused, stinko, stewed, tanked, tight, tipsy, vulcanized, up to the gills, or woozy. A glance at the slang names for the various courses reveals phys ed, chem, math, bugology, phys, geo, PE, eco, poli-sci, psych, BO, and soch. In case your roommate is a little short of money, he may be able to disguise his need by borrowing from you under some of these terms. Brass, dust, dirt, chips, dough, do-re-mi, gelt, jack, kale, mazuma, rocks, shekels, simoleons, sugar, long green, or wampum. If you have just received your check from home, it may be said that you have gobs, oodles, scads, or wads of money, or that you are either filthy or lousy with money. Impatience. Impatience with anything or anybody that interferes with a good time is vividly expressed by such names as Calamity Jane, Wet Blanket, Killjoy, Crepe Hanger, Crab, or Frost. Intolerance of dullness and slowness of wit appear in such synonyms as dummy, goop, palooka, nut, duffer, geezer, and walleyed shrimp. A few more extensively used phrases on campus include apple polishing, bull session, go cook a radish, dry ball, dead head, dumb egg, frigid female, full of hop, get the lowdown, itch a mean ivory, it's the bunk, straight shooter, string along, take a drag, and tote a torrid mama.
October 20th, 1941. No droop. Professor in the groove when shooting the jive. Drip, droop, goon, queen, peepers, and jeep are just a few of the more common slang expressions heard daily on the campus. Some of these used today are several hundred years old. Three's a crowd and so-so developed in 1430 and 1530 respectively. Drowned rat originated in 1508, lousy in 1690, and tell it to the Marines in 1830. The old ones are still in use, but college students, who talk with a language of their own, are responsible for a greater number. Harold E. Wetzel, Department of Sociology, has, in the past 3 or 4 years, collected a list of several hundred such slang expressions, the majority from his own classes. Slang gives a student a feeling of being different from the average, says Mr. Wetzel. It provides a definite means of expression and helps him carry on an intelligent conversation with another person, one who also understands the language. Besides the Ohio State collection, Mr. Wetzel has slang from other colleges, including the Naval Academy, and some that dates back several centuries. Probably a large majority of this jive originates with Hepcats and boogie-woogie fans on the campus. Prisoners have always had a language of their own, a name for everything. College talk is getting this way too, but there is no indication that any studes will end up criminals, although they do murder the English language.
May 27, 1977, Students Sling College Slang by Cassandra Balser. Joe cut class, then went and copped a buzz. I wish he'd clean up his act, you know? College slang, a symbol of youth, permeates almost every student's vocabulary. Students use slang to signify their social orientation toward a given group, Melanie M. Lusk, assistant professor of English, said. Slang is mostly an oral phenomenon. It's not standardized, and is ever-changing, she said. Using out-of-date slang is worse than using no slang, Lusk added. A student who uses that's gross instead of it's the pits or really pit it out is automatically dated. A lot of college slang originates on the East and West Coasts. Because New York and California are the center of so many of our cultural trends and fads, it is likely slang spreads from those areas, Lusk said. College slang is often used when communicating on sexual activities, quality of food, especially dorm food, difficulty of tests, conditions resulting from consumption of alcohol and drugs, studying habits and physical features of males and females. Some examples of slang used when referring to sexual activities are let's go to the airport and watch the ducks, and let's mess around. Crib refers to apartment. Bogus means wrong. Booking it denotes studying hard. Burned means a person gets taken. A piece of cake is an easy course, and aced it refers to getting an A on a test. Because slang is not standardized, interpretation often varies. Lusk recently asked a class what is meant by the sentence, Susie turned Jim on. 2/3 of the class thought the sentence had a sexual connotation, and the rest of the class thought it meant Susie gave Jim some drugs. Lusk said some slang words mean the opposite of the standardized denotation. That's bad means that something is impressive. Slang is frequently an extension of everyday words, but newer different meanings are attached to the words. Really and for sure are marginal slang, Lusk said. She first heard really used as slang word about 6 years ago on the Pacific Coast in the Northwest among young men. Slang sometimes varies from campus to campus. We may use cut class, and students at another college might use rip or ditch. Words are often slurred together. This is not necessarily slang. What do you say is just informal speech. Un, and ah originated because people do not like dead air, Lusk said. We seem to need noise to fill space while thinking. True slang determines if you are in or out. This is not only important to students, but to disc jockeys. Dave Bishop, WCOLAM disc jockey and music director, said there is no course in slang at this station. Most of the disc jockeys keep up with the trend on social basis. Some of the new terms come from song lyrics, too. Slang words are like nicknames. You give a person a nickname which has no particular significance, but for some reason it catches on, he said.
May 17, 1951. Legs get fractured. Hip more hip than hep if you're not a triangle. By Jerry Snook. Listen, Jim, drop your blade and let's swing your short for a taste. I feel like getting fractured. Boy, that sounds crazy, Jim, but I gotta blow my axe with these cats. Dig that weird kick. These real gone cats are the absolute end. No, the typewriter keys aren't scrambled and you're not reading a lower Slavonian dialogue. It's the pure language that drifts out of Hughes Hall each day. In the musician's world, the first character is inquiring of the second character. Friend, deposit your instrument in the case and let us depart via your automobile to the nearest beer emporium. I have an irresistible urge for a bit of spirits. The second character replies, an excellent suggestion, chum. However, I must remain and accompany these gentlemen on my instrument. Hearken to that beautiful music. These chaps are certainly marvelous musicians. It's all in a day's work for the tub and box blowers, drummer and guitar players. We don't try to talk that way, explained Al Silliman, Ed 4. It just comes natural. After you hang around the musicians for a while, you suddenly find yourself talking the way they do. In the outside world, a real gone guy is a smoothie. Inside Hughes Hall, he is a groovy, gone, crazy cat. It seems as though there are different grades of cats. According to their playing ability, they range from crazy cats, to square cats, to cubes, to rectangles. A rectangle is at the opposite end of the absolute end, a darn poor cat. To add to the confusion, a cat who blows a cool set of tubes is an excellent drummer, with the ability to create soul-inspiring music. Dig the crazy rags on that cat, man, it gasses me. It's just another way of saying, what a lousy suit, but I like it. Incidentally, the word hep is now run down and obsolete. Symphony Sid, WJZ disc jockey, recently decreed that hip is more hip than hep. Now those who still say hep are not hip, and immediately fall into the category of triangles. Man, it's been a ball is a partie of the real crazy gone cat. The word goodbye is strictly cube stuff.
February 24th, 1953. Ohio State students dig that crazy bebop talk by Robert D. Adams. A typical short hair conversation. Dig that crazy ghost, man. Yeah, Dad, yeah. The weird apparition in question might be that of the long-gone bebop language, now enjoying a rebirth across the country. And our campus seems to be a favorite haunt of the bebop spook. For instance, two students known for their bebop supremacy were visiting a museum and came upon a pair of Egyptian mummies. They stared in fascination until one said, "Man, will you dig those crazy band-aids?" Explanation. For the uninitiated, in other words, you who aren't hep, an explanation is in order. To dig, meaning understanding bebop lingo and gags, you have to know that the jokes invariably have a cast of two beboppers who are high, that is, gone, or floating in their private heavens. Now back to our museum visitors. They soon came upon a statue of Julius Caesar. The better educated cat explained who was depicted, adding, "He's been gone now 2,000 years." Subtle jokes. "Man," replied his companion, "those Romans sure knew how to live." Such subtle jokes as these, according to the National Association of Gag Writers, a school for would-be humorists, far outdistanced the gang field in 1952. They surpassed other standbys such as gags built around chlorophyll, King Farouk, ex-President Truman, and dormitory raids. One which the NAG boys thought to be of particular merit involved two beboppers driving a car through the Lincoln Tunnel. One gazed in wonder at the miles of gleaming white tile, then nudged his partner and said, "Man, dig this crazy washroom." Yes, this crazy ghost is sure running wild.
Have a question for us?
You can find us at go.osu.edu/archives, facebook.com/OhioStateArchives, or at Buckeye History on Twitter.
And we may answer your question on an upcoming episode. Until next time,
go Bucks!